Merry Christmas, Altitude Church family and friends. As we get started today, would you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We're continuing on in a series called Experiencing the World Changer. And through this series, we're going through the different aspects of this verse that show how God is able to transform and change you this Christmas. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says this, "For a child will be born for us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Hopefully you've experienced what it means for God to be your Wonderful Counselor and your Mighty God over these last 2 weeks of Advent. If you missed either of those, no worries. You can go back on the messages page on our website or on our YouTube page, which are linked in the description below, and binge something better to go through those two important messages. But can I just admit something to you as I get started today? As I was leading our preaching team meeting to decide which of our speaking team was going to handle each of the messages of Christmas, I sort of felt a little tension about taking this week. You see, don't get me wrong, I'm never hesitant about speaking God's word, but when it comes to talking about God being our eternal Father, that's just something that carries a lot of baggage for me. Isaiah 9:6 is a prophecy. It was in a uniquely dark period of history that God spoke to this original audience and offered them the promise and hope of a Father who would never leave. To a people who were oppressed, dispossessed, depressed, and broken, Isaiah offers this promise of redemption. But that promise wasn't just for the initial audience. It was also for us. But for those who live through their hearts to that place deep inside that feels the pain of this world crushing in around them right now, it's a tension that maybe feels a little too real. Can we trust a so-called eternal Father to actually be there for us? Can we trust that when we turn our hearts and our lives over to God in our brokenness and the depths of our despair, that He'll be there? He'll be present. That's something that through my absent father wound, I wrestle with. You see, like you, I've been let down before. I can't remember when it was that I stopped trusting that my earthly father was going to come through for me, but I do remember that whole proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. You see, when I was younger, my mother and I would oftentimes, well, actually just here and there, run across my dad around town. And whenever I saw him, it was always, you know, so few and far between that he'd do that little, like, you know, tussle the hair kind of slugger thing, and, "Oh, you're getting so big." And inevitably, each time, he would make a promise. He'd promise me some toy or some trinket or some surprise. And in my little mind and heart, I latched on to that. My dad was going to give me this prize, this thing, this whatever it was. And even when he didn't, somehow I would hope through it. But inevitably, I'd end up empty-handed and disappointed. But there was this one time. You see, my dad was really excited about this go-kart that he had gotten. Now, I'm not talking about one of those go-karts where, you know, you go to the theme park or the amusement park and they drive like 2 miles an hour and you've got like 7 feet of rubber on every side so that no matter what you do, you cannot possibly get hurt. And I'm also not talking about those expensive ones that you get from like special stores that have fancy features like roll bars over the top so that if you go into a turn too sharp and flip over, you don't die. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about a sheet of metal with wheels attached to it, handmade, homemade, definitely not street legal, with a way too powerful for that size of a piece of vehicle equipment engine on the back. And my dad made the mistake of telling me, "Son, I'll get you, I'll make you one like this, or maybe I'll even give you mine. Now, in my young imagination, long before I could even dream of having a driver's license, I'm sitting there just picturing myself behind the wheel of a piece of steel for the first time, driving around, you know, probably the highway or something like that in my mind. And my little eyes lit up. And so the next couple times I saw my dad, I reminded him of that promise. And each time his eyes got wide and he started looking around, clearly having forgotten that he made this promise. And he'd always say something like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, son, I'm working on that." But he wasn't. He never was. He was making promises he never intended to follow through on. Somewhere in the story, my mom saw how brokenhearted that I was, and I don't know the details to share them even if I wanted to, but some point she went and had a conversation with my dad, and at some point after that, I was in possession of his illegal, non-street approved, definitely not safe go-kart. A couple years later, we had some exchange students over from Taiwan, and I was wanting to impress them, and so we got out the go-kart and let them drive around the block. One of them, a young girl who had come over to visit the exchange students who were staying with us, got behind the wheel and, realizing how powerful it was, zipped around the block a few times until she ran into the back of a Dodge pickup truck, breaking her leg and also, weirdly, nearly breaking diplomatic relations between the then sovereign nation of Taiwan and the state of Wyoming. I mean, this go-kart literally almost got my grandfather sued by the nation of Taiwan. That's how amazing this thing was. But here's the deal. Even though I got promised and eventually did receive that go-kart, I never received the real promise, which was my dad's presence. And statistically, I'm not alone. In fact, those of us who are fatherless are more in number than any of us care to admit. We have a wound, and that wound has a name, and it also names us. We are the fatherless. Even if you grew up with an amazing father, many of us are facing a holiday season that is absent that father personality. For example, my grandfather was the one who stood in for that male role model figure in my life for many, many years, and he passed earlier this season. So this will be the first Christmas season we've experienced without his presence there. Many of us have seen loved ones leave, check out, or even pass on in this extraordinarily difficult season. So the question, the tension is, who do we turn to in those moments when our Father isn't there? Perhaps we can relate to the initial audience that Isaiah wrote to more than we realize and more than we ever hoped to before. A Savior will be born for us, and He will be our everlasting Father. The promise of Christmas is that we have a Father who will stand with us, who will not forsake us, who will never make empty promises and leave us in empty hope. And the reality of Christmas, the reality of Christ, is that our world changes when we experience the Father who never leaves. Our world changes. It changes forever when we experience that Father who never leaves. See, when Isaiah made this prophecy, he was clear to say that this Savior would be named Eternal Father. And those words are intentional. And I know you've heard me say this before, but it's so important that we never forget it, that in the ancient world, the idea of a name wasn't just what someone called you to get your attention. It was in relation to, it was directly speaking to the content of your purpose and your character. I could see my dad's character when he made empty promises and never showed up. But Scripture tells us that we have a Father who's everlasting. And that modifier is so important. The word everlasting or eternal just means that they're going to be there for eternity. In other words, Jesus will never not show up. He won't abandon you. He will never forsake you or leave you. He is not a God of empty promises. The story of Christmas is the world-changing truth that Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is the baby in the manger, God taking on human flesh. And Jesus often spoke of how he fulfilled that promise and prophecy. In fact, the very last words that he ever spoke through earthly lips, which you can find in your own Bibles in Matthew chapter 28, reinforce this. In that famous passage that goes from around Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus gives his disciples their final marching orders. He gives us our purpose as followers of his, that as we go, we are to make disciples, telling them of all Jesus has done, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, learning to obey. And yet the very last sentence, almost like an exclamation mark on the entire ministry of Jesus, is this: and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. I am with you. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Think about how important these words are. The prophecy of Isaiah was that a Messiah who would be king would also be present. He would be there for us. And Jesus' final earthly words are an emphatic statement of that promise, that he will never leave us, never forsake us. Some translations, instead of saying to the end of the age, say to the end of the world. He's with you, even to the end of your world, the end of your story, and you can trust Jesus. But these are just words, right? My dad used a lot of words. He made some big promises, but he never lived up to them. The difference is Jesus always backs these words up. When we turn to him, he is always there. When we need him, he is always more than present. He never extends the promise of go-karts or gifts or things that he has no intention of delivering. He always delivers on his promises. And the reality for probably a lot of us right now is that this Christmas, we need someone to turn to now more than ever. Due to the pandemic, we don't feel like we can. We've been separated. We've been excluded. We feel alone and not sure who to turn to in this season. We need the joy that this week of Advent promises, that in these dark moments, we can find a light that breaks through all of the darkness in the world around us, that our Savior is there, that he's ready to open up his arms and welcome us in. He's waiting for us. You see, our world changes when we experience the Father who is with us. Every year, around this exact season, I tend to listen to one of my top three all-time favorite Christmas songs. It's a song by an artist named Toby Mac, and the song is called This Christmas. If you wanted to, I bet you could find it on your favorite streaming platform of choice, or even right on the YouTube channel that you might be on. This Christmas tells the story of another fatherless boy. And I'm not one who tends to get emotional. That's, in fact, just one more aspect of that absent father wound that I bear deep within me. But every time I listen to this song, something stirs up within me. Something deep cries out. The song says, "Now Johnny never got his wish on December 25th. That's what he said as we left the orphanage. 9 years old, but Johnny was an old soul, gonna spend his first Christmas in a real home. Then he showed me a picture that he made the night before, a drawing of a man standing outside the door. He said, I only see him in my dreams. He comforts me when I cry myself to sleep. Father of the fatherless, be with your sons and daughters this Christmas. This Christmas. Father, let us not forget the children who are all alone this Christmas. This Christmas. This Christmas, maybe you identify a little more than ever before with the child that's in that song. Maybe as you've even grown up, you've still been drawing pictures in your heart of this man who's standing on the other side of a locked door. And no matter how hard you pound, no matter how many times you try and get the knob to turn, you're separated. That's the story for so many of us. But this Christmas, Jesus is opening that door. He is there for us. He is more than what we've been promised. His character is that of an everlasting Father who has never left us, who will never leave us, even in the midst of our betrayals, even in the midst of our failures, even when we doubt and don't believe. He is faithful. He is still there. And this Christmas, may we reclaim the hope that can be found in the fatherhood of God. May we rejoice in a promise that won't be broken, because our world changes when we experience the Father who never leaves. So how do we experience Him? It starts by us opening up our hearts and giving Him a chance. It starts by turning to Him. No matter what numbers represent the age that you are, recognizing that you are still His child. And so this Christmas, may we lean on Jesus through the pain of our present conditions, because He's there. This Christmas, may we be reminded of the words of the author of the book of Hebrews, where in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 6, he says, "Be satisfied with what you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you or abandon you.' Therefore, we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?'" Being satisfied isn't a veiled reference to not putting a present under the tree. It's a reminder that we have an eternal Father, and because of Him, we have a guarantee. We can boldly say that God will be there for us. We can trust in His presence. A man biologically known as my father did a lot of harm to me by not just being there. And yet, I've spent a period of my life being refathered by God. And God has always proved Himself faithful, even to the point of later on in my story, reconnecting me with that biological father after he had given his life to Jesus. And even though our time together was cut short by his tragic passing last year, for that beautiful moment of my life, God allowed even my biological father to be there. It's been 8 years since I became a father myself. That first moment where I said the words, "Hey buddy, how you doing?" And I watched my son's floppy baby neck turn and look at me with this big smile, which I didn't even think they could do when they were just so newborn. And yet I connected there as his father. It's been over 4 years since we've had Jaslyn in our lives and a few years since we adopted her. I just keep thinking as I listen to that song in this season, how that story of that child who's never spent their Christmas in that home, how that could have been her. She had some great families who were fostering her before, but that's her story. She is that abandoned child. I didn't have a father that I could count on. But as I've turned my eyes to my eternal Father, and as He has fathered me, I found a Father who would not leave or forsake. And I, while I often don't know what to do with my rowdy little ones, have learned what it means to be present in their lives. And I know that that's what God wants for me. That's the true gift of this season. It's not about the presence under the tree.
It's about the presence of a Father who will never leave us, never forsake us. What about you? Maybe it's time to take that chance. Maybe it's time that the words of that song became your prayer this Christmas. Father of the fatherless, be with your son or daughter this Christmas. This Christmas. Because this Christmas is one that's changed everything. But that's the story of all Christmases. Christmas is the day that Jesus changed everything by stepping down into our world. And so, before we close, I want to leave you with this challenge. Jesus says that he's the light of the world. And so, as we go about this season, whenever you see a Christmas light, whether it's outside or your Christmas tree at home, or even if it's on the Christmas movies that you're watching, whenever you see that Christmas light, will you take a chance and open up your heart and just check to see that your everlasting Father really and truly is there? He will be with you. He will not abandon you, even to the very end of your world. Merry Christmas.